This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. In our interview with Kelly Flynn, she posed the question, why should the military criminalize relations between consenting adults? Flynn was forced to resign from the Air Force after having a relationship with a man married to an enlisted woman and lying about it to her commander. We called Brigadier General William Moorman, staff judge advocate for Air Force Command, and asked him Flynn's question, why should the military criminalize sexual relations between consenting adults?
Well, let me say this. The Air Force or the military in general is not primarily interested in intimate relations between consenting adults. The real issue in the Lieutenant Flynn case had to do with impact on good order and discipline. And the military is always interested in any kind of activity that has an adverse impact on good order and discipline.
Are you talking about good order and discipline because of her responses to questions when she wasn't being honest?
Let me clarify. The conduct in which she engaged, both fraternization and adultery with the husband of an enlisted military member, had a direct impact on good order and discipline. With regard to fraternization, we have long recognized that unprofessional relationships between officers and enlisted persons can cause a breakdown of the team efforts that we need to have in order to have a well-functioning military. With regard to the adultery, in this particular case, where the other party's spouse is a very junior military person, Lieutenant Flynn's conduct had a direct impact on that individual and on that individual's unit and on the morale and discipline of a substantial number of people at Minot Air Force Base.
So what are the general principles that underline the military's regulations?
Well, there are really two.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, with regard to fraternization, our concern there is that our enlisted force has a right to believe that the officers who are appointed over them make decisions based on the best interests of the military unit involved and not based on their own personal preferences, not based on friendships or other unprofessional relationships that they may form with the enlisted cadre for whom they're responsible. And therefore, we have an interest and have had such an interest for the 200 years plus that the American military has existed in not fostering unprofessional relationships between officers and enlisted persons. With regard to adultery, adultery comes under our Article 134 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And that article specifies that the offenses listed there are not crimes unless they have an impact on good order and discipline or bring discredit on the services. And that kind of discredit is not simply someone's moral judgment. It's something that you can demonstrate in terms of an impact on the unit. In this particular case, the adultery involved here was with the husband of a junior military person. That junior military person found out about it, found it necessary to go to her chain of command, involve her chain of command in trying to solve the problem, and then ultimately, of course, had to complain to the wing commander at Minot in order to try and get some relief from Lieutenant Flynn's activities.
How would you interpret the moral of the Kelly Flynn story?
I think if you wanted to capture it in a nutshell, what you would say is that the Kelly Flynn story is an unfortunate example of an officer who was good at her specialty, in this case being a pilot, but failed in her responsibilities to also act as an officer and to set standards that officers are expected to set.
Is there anything you think that the Air Force would have done differently if given the chance to do it again?
In this particular case, I think not. The The course of conduct that the Air Force followed was really set by Lieutenant Flynn's course of conduct. Had she not lied under oath, had she not willfully violated the written order of her commander, we may have had a different disposition in this case. But given the fact that first she committed the offenses of fraternization and then adultery, the fact that she was warned that she should stop and in fact agreed to do so at one time, the fact that she was advised of her rights to not say anything and yet gave detailed written statements under oath that contained lies, and then when the entire matter was brought to the attention of her senior commander by Airman Zygo, she was given a written order which she chose to disregard, and I am told she disregarded it even though her own attorneys advised her that she should comply with it. Under those circumstances, it would be very difficult for me to see that this case could have been otherwise disposed of.
She says that, you know, the order to stop seeing Zygo would have been impossible to fulfill because he was already living at her house, and the order also said that she couldn't communicate to him through a third party or leave a message on his answering machine. So unless she never went home again, that would have been an impossible-to-enforce order.
Well, of course, the commanders involved had no idea that she was living with Mr. Zygo at the time that they gave her this written order.
Although she says surveillance was done on her house, and they knew about that.
Well, and
I mean, this is what I don't know, but
sure,
this is what she says and what she writes in her new book.
Well, I think in that regard, her book is in error. The commanders did not know that she was living with Mr. Zygo when they gave her the order. And it would have been an easy thing for her at that point to go to her attorney and tell her attorney that she wanted Mr. Zygo out of the house. So there are ample opportunities for her to break off this relationship after she got the written order.
Kelly Flynn says that she knows, you know, she made mistakes here, but that she doesn't think criminal prosecution was the appropriate way to go. What would your response to that be?
I think that if we focus on the real offenses here, the offenses that made this case proceed in the manner that it did, and those offenses are overwhelmingly the offenses of lying under oath and failing to obey the orders of her superior officers. Those two offenses run so contrary to her oath as an Air Force officer that there was simply no opportunity to dispose of these charges in any other forum. Now, with regard to that, I should say that in every case where a court-martial is pending, the officer involved has an opportunity to offer to resign in lieu of court-martial, and of course that's what was done in this case, and the secretary exercised her prerogatives in approving that discharge.
General Moorman, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, you're welcome.
Brigadier General William Moorman is Staff Judge Advocate for Air Force Command. Coming up,